be seated. A wonderful day, a wonderful time to praise Yahweh. And I want to tell everyone, if you will really pay attention today, I've got to the point in this series of sermons where Yahshua actually talks to his house. And it's amazing. Beautiful, beautiful. The writings that are going on, there's so many of them, but this one you can actually see it, of course. I just noticing here that when I was glancing out there, it looks like a lot of people are losing weight. I guess that's true, right? I mean, it looks like that's what it looks like from here. They say that Peaceful Solution Character Education Program can help you do that. And I know that's what you're using. praise Yahweh. One man told me just this week, he said, when I asked everyone to stop drinking, stop using alcoholic drinks. And he said, he did, and he said he remembered what I said about just putting it out of your mind, don't harbor it, because it'll make your mouth start watering and you'll start craving it like you do food, but put it out of your mind, put your mind on something else. And he said it worked so well that he decided to use it on quitting smoking. He said, I quit both of them. I haven't had a cigarette or a drink since then. that's a pretty great testimony about that character education program. It's a beautiful thing. The donkey in the cloud. I put it on my phone because I see it most often there. I'm sure there's going to be other signs, maybe greater than that, but that donkey in the cloud, that was sent for you and me, and keep your mind on that. And then today, when you hear this sermon today, I think I can get through that part. He's wanting us to get ready, and Yahshua is wanting us to get ready. If he came right now, it'd be a surprise, and all of you'd probably run. Thinking it was some kind of beastly system set up, but it's not. And he's wanting us to see exactly how he's going to do this, and he's wanting us to see what he looks like and how we're going to react to him is what he wants. He wants to set you up for that, and because he is going to take us up with him. Woo! It's a beautiful, beautiful thing, and what is amazing about the donkey is, you know, it came just in the right time, because his coming is really near right now. The wars and the famine that I told you are not accidents. You know, the economy right now, that could be the simplest thing on earth solved that I know of. I could solve it for the whole world in 90 days' time. But I'm thinking that they know how to solve this problem themselves. But I'm thinking, from what I see in prophecy, is it's being caused, just like what you heard about the famine in Africa. It's not a shortage of food. It's a management that the politicians that's put over this is what's causing the famine. That's not causing the rain to be cut off. The rain here in Texas is totally a different matter. But what's going on in this world among the people to get them to a certain point to where they can be taken control of, and the food dished out in small portions and put in take people and put them in concentration camps, and of course eventually get rid of about 5 billion people on the face of the earth. But he says, Africa, if you saw the film, and I hope you did see it, Africa famine, not just about drought, but about people in power. And of course, you know what's coming because we've brought it. It's in the book. The prophecies are being fulfilled, one right after another. I think I'll get right into the sermon, and we'll read those other articles later. But keep that in mind as we go into this, because the time is very near. You might be turning to Matthew 6, as we are approaching now. We've reached the nations, as Yahweh said. You've got to prophesy again, which we have. And the prophecies are reaching all the nations, as the prophets showed that they would, giving the children of Israel, who is running the world today and trying to attack all holiness, as they did in the days of the prophets and of course, in the days of the Savior, letting them have their way to prove what is going to take place. And it is taking place. They didn't want to accept Yahshua. They knew the prophecies of Yahshua. They knew what the kingdom that he wanted to set up, or that Yahweh has plans to set up. Yahshua's kingdom. Well, Yahshua said, of course, he said in 6 and verse 33, he said, "Seek first the kingdom of Yahweh and his righteousness." And of course, they had done turned that down. The 12 tribes had already turned it down, and they decided that they wanted to follow Satan, and Satan was telling them that they could die and go to heaven and be gods. And of course, we had some very powerful speakers, Christian speakers. Herbert W. Armstrong was one of them, that taught that we were going to be of the God family, and we could be born into the God family. And then this goes on constantly among Christianity. Well, of course, what they were worshiping there and what they're doing today is worshiping dead rabbis, whom they call lords and the Lord, the strongest God of the bunch, and the war gods, as Hillary Clinton was worshiping. She didn't know that, but she is quoting his very words. But he also said to the world, he said, said the world, including Jerusalem, was filled with false prophets. Now, he tells you to seek this kingdom of Yahweh and Yahweh's righteousness, but at the same time, he tells you that the world is filled with false prophets. And if you turn over there one page, well, the next chapter, chapter 7, he tells you you've got to enter in verse 13, in the narrow gate. And he says in the last part of that, he says this other way will lead to destruction. Well, of course, that destruction is very near now, as we can see from the films we're now getting and what the nations are doing. Russia knows what they're doing, and they're getting ready, of course. And you can see the moves they're making to take over so the oil won't be hurt when they get ready to depopulate the earth. But he says this other way leads to destruction, and he's noticed many are those who will go that way. And this is what we see throughout the world today. In verse 14, he said, "Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leads to life, few there be that find it." Well, of course, he's speaking here, right here. He's speaking in certain time periods. Now, the office that we have that he promises here is an office that, working straight from Yahweh Shammai with Yahshua and Yahweh. And we're actually going to be taken there and assigned our jobs very shortly. This is not going to be long. I can see this now because of the things that are taking place. But he shows here to beware then of false prophets in verse 14. And he tells you they're like ravenous wolves. And of course, if you remember Genesis 49, he shows you this, shows you the tribes in Moshe, where two of the traits of two of these tribes have come down to us right now. And of course, Zechariah shows this and showed it Daniel, where they are fighting among themselves. But of course, the whole world is going to be involved in this. But they are actually planning on pushing the seven hills of Rome over everyone's heads on the face of the earth. Now, that's what they hope. Malachi Martin says the United States hopes to come out on top. He said also Russia hopes to come out on top, which means they're all in on the plan. And that book is for anyone to read, The Keys of This Blood, by Malachi Martin, who is now dead, of course, but the book is there. We have a copy of it. We also have copies of his interviews that Rachel actually taped the interviews, and then we got manuscripts made of those, and we've used them in the books. Revelations 12:9 says the whole world is deceived. So here he is now saying, seek the kingdom of Yahweh and his righteousness. But he's telling you now in this time period we're in, which is where Yeshua talks a lot to his house in the book of Revelations, and a very short time period that we have left here, and he says, Satan has the world deceived. Well, for 2,000 years, the Vatican had its way. And, of course, the Vatican is made up of the Pharisees, Sadducees, and Essenes who had rejected Yahweh, killed Yeshua, murdered all the disciples, many of them in Rome, and then outlawed the holy writings and made it a death penalty for years. So it came down to us then, 2,000 years later, where the world, the whole world, was standing deceived. And in this same time period, called the last generation, where the whole world is deceived, then Yahweh said, I'm going to establish my house. Well, that's what you're seeing here and on television right now, is that prophecy fulfilled. Moshe, if you'll go back there, Moshe, that was just to show you the false prophets. I know you're familiar with chapter 7 of Revelations. I bring it out quite often. But in Moshe 4, we see the kingdom of Yahweh here at work. In Moshe 4, then, and he says here, and get this and put it in your memory now, verse 1 said, hear the word which Yahweh has spoken against the children of Israel, against the whole family which I brought up from the land of Egypt. Now, he's speaking here of the last days, and he's still speaking to the children of Israel whom he brought up. Well, of course, they've multiplied, taken over the world, and so forth, and this prophecy is for them, the whole world at this time. You only have I known of all the families of the earth. Therefore, I will purify you. He's actually going to purify them from all your iniquities. And then he says, can two walk together without they be agreed? Which, of course, they've got to come to agreement with Yahweh, which they will. That's our job. And as we can see here in verse 6 through 12, the blowing of the trumpets, 6 through 11, the publishing of the message in verse 9, publish it. And then, of course, he says, publish in the palaces at Ashdod and in the palaces in the land of Egypt. That's sinners, the lands of the sinners, and say, assemble yourselves on the mountains, on the uplifted places of Samaria, and behold, and that word behold, we'll get to it in a little bit, because Yahshua is given the command to behold his house. The great turmoil, behold the great turmoil in this that is going on right now. And of course, we saw this from the films that right there, how they're getting ready for even more and greater that will lead to nuclear war, and all the nations know this. The turmoil within her, the destruction, and of course, the oppressions in her midst, which the man says this famine. It has to do with people, not with a low food supply, but a low mentality supply in the minds of the people. They do not know to do righteousness. And Yahshua is saying in Matthias, seek Yahweh's righteousness. Well, the whole family of Israel, the whole family of Israel, deceived, don't know to do righteousness. And they store up violence. That's in verse 10, both of them. And shows they're following the adversary there. Revelations 12:9 says this adversary had the whole world deceived up until the time Yahweh established his house. Now, that's shown to us there in Amoshah, plus a bunch more that we've yet to cover here. Now, remember, the world won't follow Yahshua. They won't accept the kingdom of Yahweh. They haven't, and Yahweh shows they won't, but he is going to let them fall and then pick them up again. They won't have the place that they could have had, you know, had they accepted the kingdom to begin with. But you can have that place, and of course, you've just about got it secured as Yahweh or Yahshua is showing us right now with this cloud. That the more I think about that cloud and the donkey, the more I'm convinced it came straight from Yahweh. But the kingdom of Yahweh, because they have chosen their own way, the ways of war, just like Cain. They chose the way of Cain. This kingdom, it means dominion and it means rule. It means to reign, which you will be doing. That's the job that's going to be given to Yahweh's house, and we will be the first that Yahshua shows. We will be the first, and we will go back, resurrect the dead, and so forth. Yahshua showed us the difference in Yahweh's rule and that of Cain. That Cain's rule, of course, is shown in Genesis 4. Turn there right quick. Get this scripture in your mind. Now, you've come out of this. You've come out of the world of fighting, of war making, of hatred. You're getting to so that you love one another and you tolerate bad points in each other, and you give time for people to overcome. You're patient with them. All of these things has been developed in you in the last few years with Yahweh's teaching and the Peaceful Solution Character Education Program. To those who are studying it, I can't imagine anyone in the house that wouldn't be studying this daily and teaching it to their children. But notice chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, he says, "So Yahweh said to Cain, why are you angry? And why are you downcast?" Well, this is the way of the world. Look at what's going on, as Amoshah said, right now in the world. The oppressions that is going on. Well, this is what he saw in Cain and the followers of Cain. This was what's going on. Downcast. They're all downcast. They hate each other. They're ready to pull a gun and shoot each other. And we're having killings in Abilene, shootouts, like the OK Corral. It's a turn back to the cowboy mentality of wearing a gun on your hip and shooting down your enemy before he gets to you. And of course, the things on the internet, I'm told they're saying that Abilene has gone crazy But not just Abilene, every city in the world is going crazy. They're setting up camps and fighting their own system, their own municipal system. There's no unity with them at all. There's no unity in the world. United States, in name only, it's the United States. It's not united with the people. The 90% or 99% are saying we are the 99% and we want our share, and they're not getting it, and they're getting more frustrated all the time. Well, that's what he's saying here. Why are you downcast? Well, this is the way that we see that the world has gone. If you do righteousness, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do righteousness, then sin is crouching at your door. And of course, sin is let's be turning over to Yada, book just before Revelations. All the world, Yahweh says here, has gone the way of Cain. They're downcast, the turmoil, the violence among them, among all nations. The uproars is taking place all over the world, and this is all by the authority of the beast, the authority of the beast. And if you believe that, you'll know that the beast is giving them this, and surely you know what the beast is. I brought that out in the Mark of the Beast, the first books that I wrote and published and put out to the people. The Mark of the Beast, 2 volumes. The beast is the one that changed Yahweh's laws. We have a perfect record of that. They even keep record of it and admit they're the ones that did it. And of course, Constantine says we want nothing to do with the rebel of the Jews. The rebels, we don't want anything to do with the rebels. Well, they classified Yahshua and his disciples as rebels, and anyone who followed them as rebels. And Constantine says we want nothing to do with the rebels. So he changed the Sabbath into Sunday, the first day of the week. And even today, you can see the mentality, the scriptural illiteracy of the world today, because most people don't even know that the seventh day of the week is the Holy Sabbath and that Sunday is the first day of the week. So we have one hard job ahead of us of teaching even the law itself. And you, brethren, if you think of how far you have come now in the laws, but also the prophecies, and you see how far away the world is, you can see what first Yochanan said when he said, this is what separates the people of Yahweh from the people of Satan. But here now in Yada 1 in verse 11, he says that, woe to them, for they have gone the way of Cain. The way of Cain, running after greed. That's, of course, taught in the schools of higher learning, greed, and their lust is fulfilling their lust, their desires. Now, remember, Cain's way was in Yahweh's plan. You better turn there and look at that one, too. Yochanan 1:1, Cain's way, he allowed Cain and way to spread throughout the earth, and for the same reason, to let the children of Israel know what their way would bring upon them. But you will see this turned around, as one of the apostles said, they haven't gone so far that they can't be resurrected. They can't have lost it totally, somehow, but some haven't. Well, in the beginning, Yochanan 1:1, in the beginning was the plan. And the plan was with Yahweh, and the plan was Yahweh's. And the same plan was in the beginning with Yahweh, and all things were done according to it. And without it, nothing was done that was done. And in this plan was life. And of course, that's what we're bringing to the world today. But even today, they're not accepting it. It's called the way of death, what the world is accepting. And you see this back in Deuteronomy, the 30th chapter, the way of death. Now, this is what they've chosen, Yahweh said. They have made an agreement with death, an agreement. And they think, and this is their teaching, that they can die, go to heaven, and they will live as gods, much like they're doing today, in the same way. And this is their goal, and of course Satan is egging it on. Of course there's no such thing as this. There's no such thing in Yahweh's plan that promises any such thing as that. Once they perish, which is a second death that is shown in Revelation, that will be the end of their miseries. It'll also be the end of Satan's misery. She will find peace, Yahweh says, at last. In Isaiah 14, says she will finally find her peace, but that she thinks she's been seeking in her way. But here, if you notice, in Deuteronomy 30 and verse 15, he says, "See, I have set before you this day life by righteousness, then death and destruction." Death and destruction. "In that I command you this day to love Yahweh your Father by walking in all of his ways." Now this you have been doing and keeping Yahweh's laws, his statutes, and his judgment, so that you may live. So you may live. There's no other way to live except in that way. Let's read on. "And if your heart turns away," verse 17, "and you are not obedient, and you are drawn away to submit to gods, or the God teaching, to worship them and serve them, I declare to you this day that you will surely perish from the face of the earth forever." Verse 19, I call heaven and earth to witness against you this day, that I have set before you life and death, blessings and cursings. And he says in the last part, "Therefore choose life, so that both you and your children may live, so you may love Yahweh your Father by listening to him, and then following him, obeying him, hold fast to him, for he is your life." Now, I don't know how anyone could keep from loving Yahweh. Let's go on over to Yada again. Back to Yada. The Yahweh, he has a plan for righteousness. He has a plan for mercy. His kingdom is a merciful kingdom of leadership and guidance and toleration. It's you. What you're practicing right now is the kingdom of Yahweh. Loving one another, serving one another, being a servant to one another. Well, here now in Yada 1, I've got down verse 11, but I've also got verse 4. Notice verse 4. "For there are certain men who have secretly crept in, who were before of old ordained." See, it's in the plan. "Before of old ordained for this condemnation. Unholy men who turned the undeserved pardon of our one and supreme Savior, Yahweh, into a license to sin and denying," notice they deny Yahshua. Well, here it, the apostle himself saw this very thing and then was inspired to speak on that. Rule by force is not Yahweh's way, but that's the way of Cain. Kill your enemy is not the way of Yahweh's doing. Yahweh will let them die by themselves. He won't give them the gift of eternal life, but he's not a killer. Notice Yahshua shows now, and if you turn over to Mark, the difference in his way, in the kingdom of Yahweh, which that's what you've been training for and practicing and reading about, studying about, here in chapter 10, Mark 10, I want to read you the King James Version, but look at verse 42, and I'll read you the King James Version. And Book of Yahweh first, Mark 10 and verse 42. But Yahshua called them together because they were asking for certain seats and wanting to be over one another, to rule over one another instead of working together with one another. But Yahshua called them to him and said to them, You know that those who are recognized as rulers over the nations are the unconverted people, Pharisees, Sadducees, and Essenes, hypocrites, liars. You know that the people that are rulers over these exercise rulership over them, and those who are greater still exercise authority over them. The King James Version says, but Yahshua called them to him and saith unto them, ye know that they which are accounted to rule over the Gentiles exercise lordship. Well, of course, that's what they're worshiping today, the Lord, or the lords, the rabbis, which they considered their rulers or their rulers over them. But then the greater ones, he says, exercise authority over them. Now, the Amplified Bible says, and Yahshua called them to him and said to them, you know that those who are recognized as governing and are supposed to rule the Gentile nations, lord it over them, ruling with absolute power, holding them in subjection, and their great men exercise authority and dominion over them. Well, where we're sitting now at this time in the pages of history is the Vatican, of course, ruling over the kings of the earth. The kings of the earth lorded over the people, and the people are fighting back now. They're rising up against it, but you can see, as Amosha said, take a look and see the turmoil, the destruction, the violence in the midst of them, and the violence that we're going into here very soon, real great violence that will wipe people out. Now, the who is greater than Yahshua said? Who is greater? Let's go over to Luke now. And pay close attention now. Get this in your mind. Let's go to Luke 22, and notice verse 27. Luke 22 and verse 27. Now, this is the kingdom of Yahweh. This is what you've been training for, working together under teachers who you are to obey, who are leading you, watching out for your souls, watching out for your eternal life, teaching you, and you snap back at them. Well, of course, this is Satan's way. Your way is to humbly submit. And if you make a mistake, say, I made a mistake, please forgive me. Not much fight left when that is said. Well, Yahshua, of course, forgives us. So you have to be quick to forgive in order to stand by his side and be like him. For who is greater, he said. This is verse 27. Who is greater, he who sits at the table or he who serves? Is it not he who sits at the table? But I am among you as he who serves. This is Yahshua, the top of the crop, the head, our high priest and king, an example of what we should be have in our hearts right now, serving, working to serve. You got a job of serving, you couldn't have a closer place to Yahshua than a job of serving. And this is him now speaking to you. I'll show you for sure he's speaking to you as we see these following scriptures here. Look back to, let's see, we read 35. What do we do? Read 35. Look at 35 now. We read 22. No, let's go back. Let's go back to 12. Chapter 12. And now notice verse 37 at chapter 12. Blessed are those servants whom the ruler, when he comes, will find watching. Now, if you get that, what he's talking to are a group of people that are left alive at his coming. He's speaking directly to you. You see that? Now, remember he said, we will not all die, one of the apostles. We will not all die, but we're going to be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Well, some other things are shown for us. One of the things is that we are going to receive with him authority and be accepted by Yahweh, put in power, which means we're going to enter the Holy of Holies. Okay, again now here at 12 and verse 37, blessed are those servants. You see that word servants? Whom the ruler, when he comes, of course, will find serving. And find watching. Truly I say to you, he will fasten his belt and have them sit down to eat, and will come out and serve them. And now look at verse 35 also. He says, let your belts be fastened around your waist and your lamps burning. Now, that wouldn't make sense to anyone unless you knew the prophecies that go with it. But keep it in mind now and turn over to Isaiah 11, found on page 537. Look at verse 5 first. Righteousness will be the belt. And Yeshua, he spoke prophecy all the time. He spoke the word of Yahweh. Isaiah 11, verse 5. Righteousness will be the belt of his waist, and faithfulness the belt of his seat of strength, is what that means right there, that Hebrew word. Faithfulness will be the belt of his seat of strength. Now, he's talking about someone here, of course, and you know who he's talking about. There, look at back to verse 1. He says, there will come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse. And the King James Version translates that Jesse, a son of or descendant of Obed, the son of Boaz and Ruth. Hold your place right there and look over to, I think Matithya 1 will give it to us best. Matithya 1. A rod, and remember now, a rod out of the stem of Jesse or Yesha. And this man now, he's the son of, remember, Obed, the son of Boaz and Ruth. Matithya 1, and look at verse 5. Solomon begat Boaz. Now this is the lineage, if you look back to verse 1, the record of the begettings of Yeshua Messiah, son of David. You got that? Matithya 1, verse 1, the begettings of Yahshua, Messiah, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Verse 1. Now, verse 5, Solomon begat Boaz by Rachel. Boaz begat Obed. Right there, you got the name that you saw in Isaiah. 11, verse 1, Isaiah. Boaz begat Obed by Rhea, and Obed begat Yishi. Got it? Everybody got it? Now go back to Isaiah. I brought all this before, but just in case it slipped your memory or there's new ones listening, go back to Isaiah 11:1. Now, first off, there will come forth a rod out of the stem of Yeshua. We know that's Yahshua. And a branch will grow out of his roots. The branch is spoken of down there in verse 5. But a branch will grow out of his roots. Hold your place there and get Zechariah. Go to Zechariah 4, found on page 718. A branch will grow out of the roots. Okay, you got it? Zechariah now. Zechariah 4, and notice verse 12. Then I spoke to him again and said to him, "What are these two branches? Two branches, which through the two golden pipes empty the golden oil through them." Who are these branches? Now, if you go over to chapter 6, and notice verse 12, he says, "Speak to him and say, this is what Yahweh of hosts says, behold, the man whose name is the branch." You got that? Now he's speaking to Yahshua here. In verse 10, I put a question mark there, and then we started working on it, and we finally got what it was actually saying. I'll let Yehuda bring this out later, and I'll read you. The way this really reads, it says in verse 10 says, "A Savior will arise who will reveal secrets." Well, of course, we know that in Revelations, he's the one that opens the seals to the witnesses. He opens the seals to the witnesses. Remember, Yahweh says, "I will give power to my two witnesses to prophesy," Revelations 11. So Yahshua is the one that's shown in verse 6 to open those seals to the witnesses so they can prophesy. Well, of course, they start the house of Yahweh. Well, here now, in verse 10, he says, "A Savior will arise who will reveal secrets the world has hidden, namely the righteousness of Yahweh and the knowledge of Yahweh. He will go to the house of Yahweh at Abel, which is the foundation of Yahweh and the protected people of Yahweh." Take the silver, verse 11, take the silver and gold. Now, you'd never understand this unless you put it together with the roots that Yahshua left in Israel, the writings of the prophets. In every house, there's vessels of silver and of gold. Take the silver and gold. They are your crowns. The Apostle Shaul says, "You are my crown." Remember? I'm repeating his words. "You are my crown." You're the vessels of silver and gold. Make crowns and set them upon the head of Yahshua, the son of righteous Yahweh, the high priest. Now, if you look at this in the book of Yahweh, verse 11 says, take the silver and gold and make crowns and set them upon the head of Yahshua, son of Yadekiah. If you look over to your center reference, it shows you that Strong's Concordance shows this is Yahweh who made righteousness and is righteous. So the son of Yahweh set these crowns upon the head of Yahshua, son of Yahweh, the high priest. Now, hold your place there. You got two fingers. You can get it like this, Isaiah in one and Zechariah in the other. And go over to Hebrews, the 10th chapter, Hebrews 10. Now, through the roots that Yahshua left, we read Hebrews 10, yeah. Found on page 949, Hebrews 10. Now, these are the roots that Yahshua left in Israel, working, whom the beast killed. And through the roots, Yahshua says to us here in verse 21, having a high priest over the house of Yahweh, teaching, verse 16, this is the covenant that I will renew after those days, says Yahweh. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds I will write them. Verse 24, they're saying to us, not the world, but to us, let us consider one another. That's what we're doing, practicing working together. How we may urge one another on to righteous works. That's what we're doing, teaching. Our teachers are guiding and directing and helping to overcome. Not forsaking, 25, not forsaking the gathering of yourselves together, as the manner of some already is. They've already quit keeping the Sabbath. This is what he is saying in the feast days. And so much more as you see the day approaching. We are seeing it now very clearly. For if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remains no more sacrifice for sins. The sacrifice. That's our high priest, verse 21. Verse 21, a high priest over the house of Yahweh. Now go back to Zechariah 6. Zechariah 6, we were in verse 11. Take the silver and gold and make crowns and set them upon the head of Yahshua, son of Yahweh, the high priest. High priest over the house of Yahweh. The man wasn't even born at this time. But the prophecy says, take the silver and gold vessels brought together in a time period when there would be a house and he would be high priest over that house. He was never high priest before, not in his record when he was here on earth, but he is now. He received that crown of high priest over the house of Yahweh. Now he says, speak to him and say, this is what Yahweh of hosts says. Behold the man whose name is the branch. So Yahweh is telling Yahshua, and remember, Yahshua does Yahweh's will. That was one thing that was recorded in his roots left behind by the apostles. Yahshua did only the will of Yahweh. He would do nothing else but the will of Yahweh. So Yahweh he's telling Yahshua, behold the man whose name is the branch. For he will branch out from his place and he will build the house of Yahweh, over which you will be high priest. Isn't that simple? Praise Yahweh. Yes, he will build the house of Yahweh. He will bear glory and will set and rule over his throne. And he will be priest upon his throne. And the council of peace will be between them both, both the branch and Yahshua. Between them both. Now, that was in Zechariah 6, verse 12. Look back down to Isaiah 11:1. 11:1. You should have your place held there. Isaiah 11:1. Keep holding. Don't lose your place in Zechariah. We're going back there in a minute. I told you to hold your place in Isaiah. I didn't tell you to let it loose. I told you to hold it. Okay, Isaiah 11:1 now. He says then, there will come forth a rod out of the stem of Yisha. That rod twig or vine. And of course, Yahshua says, I am the vine and you are the branches. And that established him as the vine, or this rod or twig. Can be translated several ways, but it means the same thing. Out of Yisha, that was Yahshua, and a branch will grow out of his roots, which we have. We're still growing from the roots of the apostles, from the roots of Yahshua, which was the apostles that he trained in Israel. The Spirit of Yahweh will rest upon his shoulders. That is the branch. Now, speaking of the branch, will grow out of his roots, and the Spirit of Yahweh will rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge, and of the reverence of Yahweh, which will make him of quick understanding. In the reverence of Yahweh, he will not judge after the sight of his eyes, nor will he reprove after the hearing of his ears, but with righteousness will he judge the poor. They didn't throw any rich in there for some reason. I don't know why. I said, Yahweh, we could have used that other word right here a few times. And reprove with equity for the meek, humble of the earth. He will smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, which we're doing right now in the TV broadcast, showing exactly what's causing the trouble. With the breath of his lips will he slay the wicked, that is, pronounce judgment upon the wicked. Righteousness will be the belt of his waist. You got that now? The belt. Get that closely. The belt of his waist and faithfulness, that is faithfulness to Yahweh and his people, the belt of his strength. That's the belt of his strength. Now, go hold your place there and your place in Zechariah and go to Revelations 22. Revelations 22. Now, stay with me because it gets more exciting all the time. Every scripture now that we take here gets more exciting. Revelations 22 and verse 16. And he says, I, Yahshua, remember he's the high priest over the house of Yahweh, as prophesied by Zechariah. He says, I, Yahshua, have sent my messenger. I have sent my messenger. You got that? Remember, he said, behold this branch now, because he's going to build the house of Yahweh. So Yahshua says here, I have sent my messenger to testify to you these things in the congregation. Why would he send him? In Revelations 11, he says, I'll give power to my messengers, and they will preach, prophesy. Revelation 6 shows Yeshua opening the seals so he can send his messengers to do a job. That job is revealed right here. Verse 14 said, blessed are those who keep Yahweh's laws that they may have right to the tree of life. 16, I, Yeshua, have sent my messenger to testify to you these things. Don't think it's somebody else who sent me. Nobody sent me but Yahweh. No man, no organization. They tried to hire me, but I said, no, I think not. But Yeshua said, I sent my messenger to testify to you these things in the congregation of the house of Yahweh that he established in the last days. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. Now, that should be really perfectly clear there. I sent my messenger to testify to the house of Yahweh. Flip back quickly now. You got your place there in Zechariah, right? Got your finger there. Flip back there to Zechariah 6. Zechariah 6, and look at verse 12 again. Speak to him, speak to Yeshua now, and say, this is what Yahweh says. Zechariah was actually speaking to a future Savior and giving him a message from Yahweh to behold the branch that would build the house of Yahweh in the last days. Behold the branch. The branch will build the house of Yahweh. And Yeshua says, I am sending my messenger to testify, to testify. The word behold, they now have a dictionary. I would give a year's wages for this when I was 10 or 11, 12 years old and studying the King James Version. But they have a dictionary of the King James Version. It says on this word behold, to fix eyes upon, to see with attention, to give attention to, and observe with care. I'm reading you what the word behold means. We should also behold the Lamb of Yahweh, our Savior Yeshua. It also means to direct. Direct. I have sent my messenger to testify, to direct him to testify to you. You got that? Isn't that beautiful? They say the word behold means to direct. It means to fix attention to attend, to direct, or fix the mind. Fix the mind, so to train a person for exciting attention. Boy, to me it's exciting. Or admiration. It is in the imperative mode expressing command. So he's commanding us to do these things. Exhortation, and by no means a mere explanation. Exclamation. By no means just yelling, but actually paying attention and making sure that this branch does his work. Well, we see the house of Yahweh. We see that he built the house of Yahweh. Now, go back. Go back. That was in the 12. That was in Zechariah 6, verse 12. Now let's go back to Luke again. Luke 12. Luke 12. And see how beautiful this looks now. The apostles, the root that Yahshua left behind for us, actually speaking, writing down his words to the last day's work to you and I who are left alive and, of course, looking for his coming at this time. In Luke 12 now, Luke 12, and notice verse 37 again. Luke 12 and verse 37, he says, "Blessed are those servants whom the ruler, when he comes, will find watching." And of course, that's what we're doing right now. We're watching the prophecies, we're watching the news, and now I'm watching every cloud. I'm telling you, when I see a cloud, I pay attention. Someone told me that on the seventh new moon, now we were the elders and I and the young priest and everybody that could get up there was up there on top, and we were watching for this seventh new moon. And I thought I saw it, and I said, you know, I told the elders, I think I see it, but I could only see part of it. And about that time, the phone rang. No, I think I called somebody. I don't remember that, which way it was. But anyway, I was on the phone with another person, and they saw the moon. And yeah, they called me. And they were looking at the moon, and I said, "Well, describe the cloud." And they said, and I said, "Yeah, that's it." And I said, "Oh, yeah, I see it now." And I said, "That's what I was watching a while ago, and I thought it was it, but I wasn't sure because I was only seeing a piece of it, of this new moon." Now, the reason I'm telling you this is because this person told me yesterday in a conversation that they remember this cloud and what it looked like, and they were telling me that it went back in, and just where it made its curve, well, that's where the moon was. Well, that's where I saw that peak of it, but it kept going in and out, so I wasn't sure that it was the moon. And then I said to the elders, "Yes, that's it. I see it, the one I was looking at, right there in the corner of this cloud." But they told me, they said that cloud was the same shape. Now, I can't remember the cloud because I didn't pay attention, but if he ever shows me again, I'm going to pay attention. But they said that cloud was the same shape as the cloud in front of that donkey on that banner right back there, and where it comes down and goes into the tree was where they were pointing for me to look to see the moon. What a coincidence, huh? Okay, now back to Luke now, 12 and verse 37. "Blessed are the servants whom the ruler, when he comes, will find watching. Truly I say to you," to those who come and are doing this, he said, "he will fasten his belt." Remember what his belt is. "And know that his job is done, and stake up his job, and have them sit down to eat, and will come out and serve them." Come out and serve them. To me, this is saying he's in the kingdom. He's going to come out and serve you first and get you ready to go into the Holy of Holies to take your assignment. Well, these are the prophecies that keep me excited. It's very exciting to me to see these coming to pass and to know that the time is so short and we're getting ready to see our Savior. We're getting ready to have a job assigned to us with power and authority to do those jobs, carry them out, turn the 12 tribes of Israel around, resurrect them, and give them the opportunity to view themselves as to how crazy they were to begin with for ever turning away from Yahweh. May Yahweh bless you. I love you, brothers and sisters.